Good morning. Okay, so I guess we're going to do a little things different. So we're going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. As Jesus came to Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there. When you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'Its master needs it.' Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. As they were untying the colt, his owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'Its master needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of the disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. They said, 'Blessing on the kings who come in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout.'"
So let's stand for the call to worship.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Let's sing Jesus Messiah.
I'm going to tell a story today, and we've got characters. Will you hold my characters? We've got a lamb, a baby chick, a squirrel, and another little squirrel. We'll have to share. And I've got an Easter basket with eggs. And I'm going to tell a story, and this story shares what God taught us through Jesus the Son, to be helpful and be kind. Okay. This is the story of Easter, friends. One sunny Easter morning, a fuzzy little lamb was eating grass in the meadow, and she heard the faint sound of crying. And she followed that sound, and you know what she found? Behind a tree, there was a little baby chick, and she was crying. Yeah, like that one. And she said, "I'm lost and can't find my way home. I miss my mama." "Oh, don't cry," said the little lamb. "How did you get so far away?" "Well, I was looking for Easter eggs at the Easter egg hunt, and the next thing I knew, I was so far away, I got lost." "And you're much taller than me, lamb," said the chick. "Will you see if you can see my hen house?" The lamb stretched her neck and got up on her tippy hooves and looked around, but she couldn't see the hen house. "Maybe it's over the hill or the dale or past those big trees. Maybe it's on the other side of the pond," said the lamb. Just then they heard a voice say, "Well, what are you guys looking for down there?" "Look up here." The chick and the lamb both looked into the tree, and there was some silly squirrels hanging around up there.
"Like this one?"
"Can we help?" said the squirrel. "Yeah, just like that one." "We're looking for the hen house so I can get home to my mama," said the baby chick. "But it's too far away for us to see from way down here." And the lamb said, "Well, maybe you guys can see it up there." So the squirrel scampered back up the tree, and he said, "I see it, I see it. And there's a big red hen running around like crazy with a basket full of Easter eggs. Oh, that's my mama. She's looking for me." "Follow me," said the squirrel. He scurried down the tree and across the meadow. "Well, wait for us," said the baby lamb. and she put the baby chick on her back. Across the meadow they ran, over the hill, past the big trees, around the pond, and they kept going until finally they saw the hen house. "There's my mama," said the chick with a giggle. "Oh, my baby," squawked the mother hen, and the chick hopped off the lamb's back and into her mama hen's arms and big hug. "Oh, thank you for bringing my baby home," said the hen. "These are my new friends." "Mama, these are my new friends," said the baby chick. "These are my Easter friends." And from that day on, they chased butterflies and played around the farm and became Easter friends forever. I have something for you, but you need to ask Mom and Daddy, okay?
Okay, our next reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 47. As Jesus came to the city and observed it, he wept over it. He said, "If only you knew on this off of all days the things that led to peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The time will come when your enemies will build fortifications around you, encircle you, and attack you from all sides. They will crush you completely, you and the people within you. They won't leave one stone on top of another within you, because you didn't recognize the time of your gracious visit from God." When Jesus entered the temple, he threw out those who were selling things there. He said to them, "It's written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a hideout for crooks." Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests, the legal experts, and the foremost leaders among the people were seeking to kill him.
So here we are. It's Palm Sunday. We are at the start of Holy Week. But today is also Passion Sunday. That we can't come to the empty tomb until we first come to the cross. Amen? And so as you see in the fellowship hall, I was looking for someone to build a cross that was a little bit smaller than the one that we had that was really big that sticks in the ground, because we don't have a way to stick it in the ground, obviously, here indoors. But Rich Coffee went and got some fence post wood from the Currys and fashioned a cross for us. And I strategically placed the cross out in the center of the fellowship hall so that as we come and as we go, we have to go by the cross. Because we've been on this journey to the cross, amen? Following Jesus. We've been making that decision each week to follow Jesus today, every day, all the way to the cross. And here we are, the beginning of Holy Week. And this is where the real drama starts in the story in Luke's gospel. This is when things start to ramp up, and here comes the major conflict and the climax in this grand story, which was Jesus' story, but it's also our story. And it's the story that shaped all of human history and set the stage for all eternity. So what we're going to do today is we are going to read through that narrative. And you, the congregation, the church, the body of Christ, you are going to read aloud the words of Jesus, the red letters, if you will. So our first act in this drama is from Luke 22, verses 1 to 6, 14 to 23, and 31 to 62. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the legal experts were looking for a way to kill Jesus because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went out and discussed with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard how he could hand Jesus over to them. They were delighted and arranged payment for him. He agreed and began looking for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them, a time when the crowds would be absent. When the time came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles joined him. He said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover
with you. For I tell you, I won't eat until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom.
After taking a cup and giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you that from now on, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come. And after taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which is given for you.
Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the meal and said, this cup is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, my betrayer is with me. His hand is on this table. The Son of Man goes just as it has been determined. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays him. They began to argue among themselves about which of them it could possibly be who would do this. But meanwhile, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, look, Satan has asserted the right to sift you all like wheat. However, I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. When you have returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Peter responded, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow today before you have denied three times that you know me. Jesus said to them, when I sent you out without a wallet, bag, or sandals, you didn't lack anything, did you? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now, whoever has a wallet must take it, and likewise a bag. And those who don't own a sword must sell their clothes and buy one. I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in relation to me. And he was counted among criminals. Indeed, what's written about me is nearing completion. They said to him, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, enough of that. Jesus left and made his way to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. And the disciples followed him. And when he arrived, he said to them, Pray that you won't give in to temptation. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. Then a heavenly angel appeared to him and strengthened him. He was in anguish and prayed even more earnestly. His sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from praying, he went to the disciples. He found them asleep, overcome by grief. He said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd appeared, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him recognized what was about to happen, they said, Lord, should we fight with our swords? One of them struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus responded, stop! No more of this. He touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to get him, Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a thief? Day after day I was with you in the temple, but you didn't arrest me. But this is your time when darkness rules. After they arrested Jesus, they led him away and brought him to the high priest's house. Peter followed from a distance. When they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant woman saw him sitting in the firelight. She stared at him and said, this man was with him too. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them too!" But Peter said, "Man, I'm not!" An hour or so later, someone else insisted, "This man must have been with him, because he is a Galilean too." Peter responded, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." At that very moment, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. Our story today began with Jesus coming in as the long-awaited Messiah, coming in a victor's parade. And he came meek and humble. He didn't come on a white horse like a Roman general, a Roman emperor. He came on a humble foal of a donkey. He came in meek and mild. And yet, God's word was fulfilled when Jesus came in on that donkey. And the children and the parents and the people were crying out, and they were throwing down their cloaks, and they were waving the palm branches, singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that word Hosanna means, "Lord, come save us. Come save your people." So there were great cries of triumph, weren't they? There were cries of triumph. But as we heard, Jesus came in and he went into the temple because that was what he was there to do. He came as a prophet, priest, and king of Israel. He came to set them right and to expose the nakedness of the Pharisees and the religious establishment, right? He came in and Jesus got angry. And he overturned the tables. And he cried out with great lament, with tears of sorrow and his anger. The Lord said, "My house shall be a house of prayer. But you have turned it into a den of robbers." My house shall be a house of prayer. They got so caught up in all the activity, in all the doing things in God's name, that they lost the first love. They forgot why they were there. That the temple was meant not to be something that everybody is in awe of and makes pilgrimage to, but it was so that people could come and experience the presence of God because of a praying people. That brought conviction to my heart as I think about how we cry out for triumph. We're ready for that triumphal parade for Jesus to come back. But are we ready for Jesus to come and overturn the tables in our lives or in our church and to call us to account? To tell us, "My house shall be a house of prayer. This church shall be a house of prayer. Your homes shall be a house of prayer. This community shall be a house of prayer. But you've turned it into a den of robbers." That is, you've made it all about you and what you're doing. You've forgotten what God is already doing. That it's not about you, but it's about God. So the Holy Spirit brings us conviction as Jesus overturns those tables, doesn't he? And he cries those tears of sorrow and his anger. But I also want you to think about Peter and Judas, that Judas was one of Jesus' closest companions, the one that Jesus trusted to take care of the treasury. He counted the money. He kept accounts. He was supposed to be accountable. And yet, he betrayed Jesus. He sold him out, didn't he? Because Jesus wasn't meeting Judas' expectations when he realized that he wasn't there to overthrow Rome or to restore the Jews to their place of cultural privilege they once enjoyed, that he came to die on a cross. He came to lay down his life to be a martyr. Judas wasn't having that, and so he took it into his own hands. He felt things were getting out of control, and he sold Jesus out and betrayed him. much like Joseph in Genesis was sold into slavery by his brothers for a few pieces of silver. And then there's Peter. Peter, who looked Jesus in the eye at dinner and said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus loved Peter enough to say, "Truly I tell you, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." And that's exactly what he did. And right after Peter did that, he realized what he did that was so wrong, that he hurt that relationship with the man whom he loved, his best friend in the world. Peter wasn't just one of the 12. Peter was Jesus' best friend with James and John. He got to see Jesus transfigured. He was the one who said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." He got it right. Then, of course, Jesus said, after Peter said, "Well, no, Lord, you're not going to die. Away from me, Satan. Get behind me." But this time, Peter really stuck his foot in his mouth when he denied Jesus three times to save his own skin. As much as the betrayal of Judas must have felt that wounded Jesus, I can't imagine what it was like for his best friend to deny him, and he's right there. And he sees the whole thing go down as he's being clubbed and he's being spat on and he's being slapped and he's being interrogated. He sees the whole thing go down. But as soon as Peter realizes what happens, conviction rushes over him and he realizes just how much Jesus loves him because he went out and cried uncontrollably. Peter too was crying out, "Triumph, Hosanna." And yet here he cries uncontrollably, tears of great sorrow. That Peter was truly sorry for his sin against his best friend, against his Savior and his Master. And that's what Holy Week is about for us too. That there are times in our lives where whether we want to or not, we find ourselves denying Jesus by the way that we act or how we spend our time. Or when we feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit to step out in faith, and we're preoccupied with ourselves or with something else. So I hope that this week, that God will show you Christ's love for you, even when you deny Jesus. But when you find yourself denying Jesus, whether you intend to or not, I hope that you respond like Peter did immediately. That you don't have a guilt trip and walk away, but that Peter couldn't contain himself. He cried uncontrollably. That even though Jesus was bound and handcuffed, Jesus was right there in the Spirit with him and was embracing him. And so when we sin and we fall short of the glory of God, we need to run to Jesus, to his embracing, nail-scarred hands, so he can embrace us and love us back into right relationship with him. Because when we were at our worst, Christ died for us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this proves God's love for us. Amen? Amen. So let's continue with the story now with Act 2. Luke 22, 63 to 23, 46. The men were holding Jesus in custody, taunted him while they beat him. They blindfolded him and they asked him repeatedly, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Insulting him, they said many other horrible things against him. They said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." He answered, "If I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated on the right side of the power of God." They all said, "Are you God's son then?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need further testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." The whole assembly got up and they led Jesus to Pilate and began to accuse him. They said, "We have found this man misleading our people, opposing the payment of taxes to Caesar, and claiming that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no legal basis for action against this man. But they objected strenuously, saying, he agitates the people with his teaching throughout Judea, starting from Galilee all the way here. Hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was from Herod's district, Pilate sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus, for he had heard about Jesus and wanted to see him for quite some time. He was hoping to see Jesus perform some sign. Herod questioned Jesus at length, but Jesus didn't respond to him. The chief priests and the legal experts were there, fiercely accusing Jesus. Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt. Herod mocked him by dressing Jesus in elegant clothes and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate and Herod became friends with each other that day, and before this they had been enemies. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. He said to them, you brought this man before me as one who is misleading the people. I have questioned him in your presence and found nothing in this man's conduct that provides a legal basis for the charges you have brought against him. Neither did Herod, because Herod returned him to us. He's done nothing that deserves death. Therefore, I'll have him whipped, then let him go. But with one voice, they shouted, away with this man! Release Barabbas to us! Barabbas had been thrown into prison because of a riot that had occurred in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them again because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting out, crucify him! Crucify him! For the third time, Pilate said to them, why? What wrong has he done? I found no legal basis for the death penalty in his case. Therefore, I will have him whipped, then let him go. But they were adamant, shouting their demand that Jesus be crucified. Their voices won out. Pilate issued his decision to grant their request. He released the one they asked for, who had been thrown into prison because of a riot and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will. As they led Jesus away, they grabbed Simon, a man from Cyrene, who was coming in from the countryside. They put the cross on his back and made him carry it behind Jesus. They also led two other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place they called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching, but the leaders sneered at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he really is the Christ, sent from God, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering sour wine, and saying, if you are really the king of the Jews, then save yourself. Above his head was a notice of the formal charge against him. It read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him. Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness covered the whole earth until about 3 o'clock, when the sun stopped shining. Then the curtain in the sanctuary tore down the middle, And crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. After he said this, he breathed for the last time. That story preaches a better sermon than any preacher will ever preach. Amen? It's the lowest point of humanity. And so our response to Christ's crucifixion for us is we are going to have a litany of Christ's lament, his cries as he was praying in his heart on that cross. And we're going to respond with this cry for God's mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And hear these words as the words of Christ to us. Oh, my people. Oh, my church. What have I done to you? Or in what have I offended you? I led you forth from the land of Egypt and delivered you by the waters of baptism. But you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I led you out through the desert 40 years and fed you with manna. I brought you through times of persecution and of renewal and gave you my body, the bread of heaven. But you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I made you branches of my vineyard and gave you the water of salvation. But when I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar and gall and pierced with a spear the side of your Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I went before you in a pillar of cloud, but you have led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I brought you to a land of freedom and prosperity, but you have scourged, mocked, and beaten me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I gave you a royal scepter and bestowed the keys to the kingdom, but you have given me a crown of thorns. I raised you on high with great power, but you have hanged me on the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. My peace I gave, which the world cannot give, and washed your feet as a servant. But you draw the sword to strike in my name and seek high places in my kingdom. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I accepted the cup of suffering and death for your sakes, but you scatter and deny and abandon me. I sent the Spirit of truth to lead you, but you close your hearts to guidance. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I called you to go and bring forth fruit, but you cast lots for my clothing. I prayed that you all may be one, but you continue to quarrel and divide. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I grafted you into the tree of my chosen people, Israel, but you turned on them with persecution and mass murder. I made you joint heirs with them of my covenants, but you made them scapegoats for your own guilt. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I came to you as the least of your brothers and sisters. I was hungry, but you gave me no food. Thirsty, but you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. Naked, but you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, but you did not visit me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Christ died for us, and this does prove God's love for us. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. So you may be seated.
Chapter 23, verses 47 to 56. When the centurion saw what happened, he praised God, saying, "It's really true. This man was righteous." All the crowds who had come together to see this event returned to their homes, beating their chests after seeing what had happened. And everyone who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance observing these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council. He was a good and righteous man. He hadn't agreed with the plan and actions of the council. He was from the Jewish city of Arimathea and eagerly anticipated God's kingdom. This man went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb carved out of the rock, in which no one had ever been buried. It was a preparation day for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. Then they went away and prepared fragrant spices and perfumed oils. They rested on the Sabbath in keeping with the commandment.
So before we go today, there's a couple things. One, we've got the mission meal, and there's also choir practice as soon as we get done eating during the mission meal for the choir members. But this is the start of Holy Week, and so I hope to see you at the Maundy Thursday meal and our service on Thursday starting at 6 o'clock, and also for our community service with the three Alpha churches gathered together. We're going to have a service of Tenebrae, which is where the candles go out with each reading. It's a service of diminishing darkness. And that's going to be at Maranatha at 7 o'clock on Friday. And I hope to see you here on Easter Resurrection Sunday, ready to worship and eagerly awaiting that empty tomb that means eternal life for all of us. That was Christ's greatest victory. His victory on the cross over sin and death, and his victory over death itself through the resurrection. But before you go today, I wanted to close with this prayer, and before our benediction, we are going to have, after the benediction, we're going to have a postlude in silence. Dean's going to be singing "Were You There" as he plays. And so I encourage you to go out in silence. My wife Julia is going to be out there at the cross, because as we leave, we always have to go by the cross. And she's going to have red ribbons. And you're welcome, whether today or later during the week, anytime you want to come in when the church is open, or bring it to Maundy Thursday. But there's red ribbons, and I want to invite you to pray about what that red ribbon represents to you. What is Jesus bearing on the cross for you this week? And when you're ready, take that red ribbon and tie it around one of the beams of the cross to signify that Christ is carrying your burdens and your sins and your hurts and your disappointments and the people you care about so that you can find healing in his wounds. So let's pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in the obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.